You're listening to Eye on the Ball with Steve Rivera. This podcast is a Bustos Media production on The Voice. Be sure to subscribe wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
Good afternoon and welcome to Eye on the Ball. I'm Jay Gonzalez, your host today, as Steve Rivera is taking the day off with some other business that he's got to take care of. And you're listening to us on 1030 The Voice, where we've had another one of those days where there's just stuff all over the board. So we're going to talk about some of that. But we're also going to talk baseball today. We're going to bring in Todd Walsh, who's the pre and post-game host for the Arizona Diamondbacks. Also does the same thing for the Arizona Coyotes. So we'll probably talk a little bit of hockey as well. But there's lots going on, as there is, it seems to be, every day, and new developments related to COVID and to season starting. And really at the top of the list, something that maybe brings a little bit of concern for us who are rooting for there to be college football, and in particular Pac-12 football. The University of California announced today that they are going to begin the fall semester with fully remote instruction, meaning no students will be in class. Although I spoke to a couple of people who said that doesn't mean that Cal's not going to have athletes on campus. The campus is not closed. Students will be on campus, they just won't be going to class. So as it relates to whether or not Cal can play football, it remains to be seen. It's not off the board. It looks like they've sort of got a little bit of a loophole there, because there was a lot of discussion when the colleges were talking about whether or not there would be students on campus, saying if there were no students on campus, how can they have football? But it looks like there's still going to be now some football. At least that's what everybody's hoping. And as you know, I'm rooting big time for that. I'd love to see football in the fall. Although I got to say, we still got to believe that there's a really good chance that we're headed towards the spring. And, we're just seeing a lot more of that as we go along. We found out that a group of high school coaches in Arizona, including more than a dozen of them from Southern Arizona, have sent a letter to the AIA, the Arizona Interscholastic Association, asking them to move football to the spring. We know in the last couple of days, and a little bit before that, the state of New Mexico and California have moved their fall sports to the spring. So you got Arizona kind of sitting in between. Yeah, how can they go on with sports if everybody else around them is not? So the football coaches have laid out a lot of reasons why they want to do that, and it all makes a lot of sense. And they know it's going to be hard, because you're going to have issues with referees, issues with coaches who coach more than one sport, players who play more than one sport. But the reality that they see is that high schools don't have the resources that, say, the colleges or even the NFL do to manage what's happening with COVID. So they're saying, let's just wait. Let's wait. Let's give it a chance. Let's wait till the spring, and let's do it all then, when things can kind of be in order. And I kind of agree with that with the high schools. It seems to make sense. How are you going to, just at the college level, with the number of athletes that they have, how are they going to manage it? There's a lot of schools who feel that they can't, and they're trying, and they're, you've got some of the smaller leagues who are moving their sports into the spring. So if they have to do that, how can high schools really say, we're gonna go against that and do what we're gonna do?
Jay, even on top of that, I mean, how many schools right now, including here in Arizona, high school or college, aren't even 100% sure how they're going to resume classes, let alone how they're going to resume sports? And I think that's part of the trepidation. You don't have a roadmap yet, so it's really hard to agree to something when you don't know how it's going to play out.
Right. And that was the big point in the letter. They're saying, we don't even know that we're going to have students on campus. We don't even have a plan, a definitive plan. We're about a month out when they say school is supposed to start. We don't even have a definitive plan to do that. How can we be playing sports? Or how can we even be thinking about playing sports? So it looks like the football coaches want to get their sport at least into the spring.
And, the upside to it, I mean, I'll go ahead and say this. I think the weather would be better. It would be more helpful to the athletes, not having those August practices and the 100-degree heat, I think definitely would help out. And, yeah, it's a little unusual, but, hey, these are unusual times. So If they did say in the spring, I'll be honest with you, I'd feel a lot better about that because now I feel like something is set. I can look forward to that then. I can say, okay, it's unusual, but this year we're going to have football in the spring.
Right. And then, you know, and the coaches, the other point the coaches made is if they try to jam this thing into the fall, you know, there's always a chance that it's going to get, you know, a season's going to get canceled in the middle of the season. They feel there's just more certainty to giving these football players and the sports and other athletes the full experience and not have to worry, is my season going to get canceled in a couple of weeks? Is, you know, what's going to happen? So, again, there's a lot of issues that would need to be worked out. I mean, one of the issues is a very simple one, referees. You know, football referees, they umpire baseball, they ref basketball. You know, they're going to have some issues with that, but they feel like we can work that out. And so I think it makes a lot of sense for them to take the opportunity to do that.
They'll also have to figure out the 2 and 3 sport athletes, the kids who do play football, then basketball, then baseball, or whatever, you know, it may be. So, and I'm sure there will be ways to figure that out, and maybe some difficult choices will have to be made. But again, these are very unusual times.
It's very unusual, and you want to talk about unusual. How about the fact that the NCAA, and not the NCAA, the NFL, announced today that they're not going to be having any preseason games? You know, we've always talked about the unfairness of having to pay the same amount for a preseason game as a regular season game and all that, and there's TV money related to that. And they just announced today, no preseason games. They're just going to give the teams a certain number of days to get themselves worked through camp. They're increasing the number of players they can invite to camp. And it's going to be game on in mid-September.
And it looks like 80-man rosters has been mostly agreed to. But, you know, it's funny you say that. You read my mind, because that is the chief complaint I hear from NFL season ticket holders. I don't want to go to the preseason games. Why am I paying for this? You get one series, maybe, of a starting offense or a starting defense, and it's what's the point of preseason football?
Right. I mean, I don't even watch those. You know, I'll say this.
If I'm starving, I'll watch them.
I'll say this. I watched the Hall of Fame game because that's the first game. It's still the dead of summer, and I'll watch that for about a quarter. And then I change the channel, and then I don't watch any more preseason games. So it's again, it's an odd time, and to know that the NFL is giving up its preseason games, that just tells you how weird this is. And then, you know, we're getting ready for baseball. Baseball starts on Thursday. The Diamondbacks are going to be in San Diego this weekend, and Todd Walsh is going to come in and talk to us a little bit about what that's going to look like. I'm really interested to see how they're going to do the broadcasts. I watched some of the Diamondbacks broadcast of their spring training. We shouldn't even call it spring training, right? Summer training game with the Dodgers last night, just to see what it looked like and what it sounded like. Was a little creepy with the cutouts behind home plate, but then you know, you're hearing crowd noise and all that kind of thing, but trying to give it some normalcy for the fans who are watching. And other than that, and I'll tell Todd, it looked the same to me, but you know, Todd's the pre and post game host. He's going to have to figure out some things to do, and I'm going to be interested to see just what he's going to do with his job. But, you know, Todd's sort of a local guy. He's from Rochester, went to the U of A. He's got some roots here, still got a lot of friends here, and it's going to be fun to catch up with Todd and talk to him a little bit. And I, again, just want to see what's this going to look like for the fan as the baseball season gets started. And, you know, he's got some work. He does similar work with the Coyotes, and they're getting ready to start the NHL playoffs in, I believe, August the 2nd. So we're going to see what his balancing act is going to look like. So let's go ahead and take a break, and we're going to have Todd Walsh on the line as soon as we get back.
It's those guys from Tucson Appliance Company, the best appliance company in Tucson.
For the month of July, we're going to donate 2% of our sales to a local charity from in-stock purchases.
Come shop at our store and work with our amazing sales team.
Dustin, David, Brian, Alex, me, and Peter.
You can choose from a list of local charities for us to donate to.
The only way we can give back is if you shop local.
Only at Tucson Appliance, where our low price is your priority.
There's a place in our house For 70 years, Benjamin Supply has been keeping Tucson flowing. Hygiene is our business. We help you achieve extreme clean. Minimize germ spreading with a hands-free sensor faucet. Forget the paper panic with a washlet seat. And speaking of waterworks, a big thanks to plumbers for their essential efforts during this health crisis. Shop our downtown showroom by appointment. Call us at 777-7000 or see all the products online at BenjaminSupply.com.
Thanks to Benjamin Plumbing Supply.
Time to update those old kitchen cabinets? Call the Window Depot today. The Window Depot is not only the number one warehouse for windows and doors, we now have a great selection of kitchen and bath cabinets at Tucson's best prices. The Window Depot is Tucson's top spot for granite and quartz countertops to finish the new kitchen or the replacement of that old worn out Formica. So call us today at 290-8545 or 622-6430. The Window Depot, windows, doors, granite, and new kitchens.
Where you bank really does matter. Hughes Federal Credit Union is proud to be recognized by Forbes as one of Arizona's best credit unions 3 years in a row. This national recognition highlights our commitment to high-quality products and services, our customer service, digital services, and financial advice. At Hughes Federal Credit Union, we offer low rates on loans, lower fees, and many free services. Make the switch. Join Hughes today. Visit hughesfcu.org/best. Certain restrictions apply, insured by NCUA.
Welcome back to Eye on the Ball. This is Jay Gonzalez on 1030 The Voice. Steve Rivera is out today, but we've got a great guest coming in to tell us a little bit about what we're about to see in Major League Baseball. Our old friend Todd Walsh, U of A graduate, has been working with the Arizona Diamondbacks and the Coyotes for nearly 20 years. So Todd has a lot of insight into what's going on at Major League Baseball. Todd, welcome.
Jay, how are you?
I'm good. How are you doing?
I'm good. It's good to hear your voice. I've been tracking your run of late, and I was actually rummaging through my garage trying to find the earliest byline that I can remember working a game alongside you with, and I came up short. But it's been a long, long time, and it's just good to be with you and be on the air in Tucson. It's like home, so thank you.
Well, I appreciate you joining us, Todd. I'm really curious as to what's this going to look like as you guys get set for the season. I think people need to know that the announcers, the play-by-play guys, you aren't going to be traveling with the team, and somehow you're going to have to find a way to give us a show and from wherever you're going to be. Tell us a little bit about how this is going to work as the season gets going and with the Diamondbacks in San Diego.
Yeah, I mean, it's the great unknown. I've thought so much about this over the last few weeks when I knew this was coming, and I just consider it an epic challenge in the scope of my career arc, that's for sure. We just won't have the same tools at our disposal that I've been used to for the last 33 years in doing this and 20 plus with Fox Sports Arizona and in television. But I know this, and Jay, you've filed some stories in some strange places and probably really bizarre circumstances along the way. You find a way. And I look forward to figuring out how to create, you know, something on what we have, which is a blank canvas every single night in our pre- and post-game shows. And the interesting thing for me is, in this work stoppage, we were allowed to really just do whatever we felt compelled to do on the digital side in Fox Sports Arizona. So we obviously started to incorporate the Zoom interviews, the virtual interviews. And I noticed something at the very beginning of this that has held true to this day. I actually did one this morning. I talked to Brandon Webb, and he was in San Diego in Orange County. And I'm sensing something that's happening in these Zoom interviews that I think is going to be an added benefit and another layer. And that is that people are a little more comfortable to speak, believe it or not. You'd think that there's another wall, and yes, there is. You can't hide from that. But in just the physical makeup of the setup, you're looking, and yes, there's clearly a virtual wall, but you're looking at somebody right in the eye, essentially. And for the last quarter of a century in television, I've been sitting, you know, side by side, let's say it's a studio setup, knee to knee with my upper torso contorted in a, you know, a whatever degree I had to get to the one camera, if I'm lucky, two. There's a lighting person in there. There are lights that are making the building really hot. There's a stage manager, and there's an audio person, and then there's the person I'm talking to. And I'm trying to lower the temperature literally and figuratively in the room for that person to be comfortable. And it's an awkward setup. It's always been that way, and athletes are accustomed to that, but it's still awkward. But when I'm talking to people in these Zoom calls, that's gone. And it seems like every time I do one, somebody says something that surprises me. They go a little farther, or they, if I'm doing a three-way Zoom, someone will say something to the other person. They're trying to connect to them, and they're doing it because they're looking them right in the eye. And I kind of look forward to seeing how that plays out. It, you know, nothing will replace being in the room, in the clubhouse, in the locker room. You know, that I've had the best seat in the house my entire career. And I get it, and I know what I've been able to cultivate from that. But to me, this is just another challenge, and I'm already seeing what I hope is a way to mine a little more. It's going to be different. It will look different. But I do think there's something there, and I kind of want to get at it.
So will you have a setup for either pregame and or postgame where somebody will, you know, you'll be able to get a player to get in front of a camera so that you can interview them, and so you're still going to have player interviews and that type of thing?
Yeah, so as I understand it, I mean, this is all a work in progress, and we have some loose plans, and things are still evolving as we speak, but as I'm watching how our game production's taking place already in these exhibition games with the Dodgers and the way that summer camp has gone, you know, for instance, on the postgame show, what's the first thing that happens in the postgame show? I talk, if the Diamondbacks don't win, I talk to my analyst. I'm going to be with Mark Grace or Brandon Webb. We'll just be in separate studios, but we will be on the air together, and then we'll go and throw to Diamondbacks manager Torrey Lovello, or in hockey it's Rick Tocchet, and there will be a virtual setup for that with the other members of the media dialed into the same situation. So that's not going to change. If the Diamondbacks win, we'll get a player, I presume, on the field. I think at home games for sure. I'm not sure how the road games will set up. I think that's another aspect that will be evolving. During the day, for pregame shows, instead of Jody Jackson and myself wandering around the clubhouse, you know, during the afternoon, they are going to make there'll be a schedule of players that are available via virtual interviews, and I'm going to guess that along the way, we're the rights holders and we have the relationships that we'll be able to do some semblance of exclusivity, and I don't see why that wouldn't happen. So, to me, it's just going to appear differently, and I think people are already so accustomed to that now. It's just going to be on your TV or in your handheld device. Again, there is nothing like the immediacy. But it's not going to happen, and I don't know when it will happen again.
Right.
You know? I don't know.
I mean, this is a level of weird for all of us that, you know, that nobody's ever, you know, had to go through and had to see. And I mean, and you're right. Yeah, you know, as a reporter, I filed stories from some strange areas, but at least I got to be there, right?
Yeah.
And so, you know, I was telling Tom Callahan here that, you know, I watched some of the broadcast last night, you know, just the game broadcast. Mm-hmm. It didn't seem any different to me. And I honestly hadn't done my research on it yet. So I didn't even realize that Steve and Bob Brantley were not there. I thought you guys would be with the team. I didn't even realize that they weren't there. So it looked the same to me. And maybe that's the beauty of it.
Yeah, and I mean, when you think of the technology that we have now and HDTV, and there'll probably be another level of that along the way. I mean, I think Steve Bethune probably has the hardest job judging plays, but, you know, the hardest thing to learn, and I'd learned the hard way calling Tucson Toros games in 1987, 1988, is to judge a home run. And that's where you can get caught, and now thanks to social media, you can look really dumb if you don't get it right.
Right.
But once you figure out that you're not looking at the ball, you're looking at the outfielder will tell you everything you need to know. I mean, that's an instinct that Steve has now, and I even picked up a couple of things that Bob Brantley did in both of those telecasts where, you know, he picks up things. He's the best color analyst, I think, in the business. So he doesn't need to be in the ballpark. You might not see, a simple twist, something happening on the field, but I guarantee you those cameras are going to catch it and bring it back to you and back around. And Bob and Steve know how to navigate that with our producer and director. So, and for me, Jay, the pregame show, outside of me not sitting right next to Brandon or Mark, it feels to me like it's going to look and feel the same. And we're just going to be challenged with, I like to go off the beaten path, and especially when I'm on the road and I have a camera, and if I can, walk across the street to the Roberto Clemente Bridge outside of PNC Park and do something there, those are the little things that we're going to have to figure out a way to be able to do. But I know that we will, because we always try to make every show, the best show. Just like, you want all your leads to be the best leads you can possibly get. It's the same drill. It's a challenge, and I can't wait to navigate it. But I don't think it's going to look that different.
Well, we are so starved for sports. You guys could butcher mm-hmm. this 100 different ways, and we probably really wouldn't care. Now, I know you won't, because you yeah. cause you guys are pros, and yeah. you'll figure it out. I was watching that game last night, and I thought, oh, that's what it feels like, and yeah. That's what it feels like to watch a game that you didn't already know how it ended or something like that. So, there's a lot of that.
The thing that I will crave, and you just can't recreate, is post game, and that's where the emotion is, and that's when you walk and it's like to talk to Lute Olson after losing on the road at Pauley Pavilion.
Right.
And if Torrey Lovello is really good at managing his emotions. He knows exactly what he's doing, and I can count probably on maybe two hands the number of times on the road when I'm the reporter and I walk in, I have to go in there first. I have to bring the cable and the camera into his office first, and then everybody else walks in. So there's sometimes a 2-minute window or 45 seconds, which feels like an eternity. Those Matt Kemp walk-offs at Dodger Stadium a couple of years ago off Archie Bradley. I mean, I've been doing this forever, and walking, first of all, I had to walk through the clubhouse. They fell out of first place after being in first place all summer, that way, that dramatically. And then I walked into Torrey's office, and I have a great rapport. I really admire him and respect him. But I could feel the heat on the back of his neck. And that's the stuff that, you're just not going to get for a while. But fans are smart enough to know when the guy's still feeling it. You can tell. I mean, we're not dumb now. We can pay attention. And it's our job to bring it out through the Zoom and through the virtual setup. But I think we will.
Well, we've got about a minute here, so what's on your mind for the very first game? What are we going to see from you right out of the box?
I just can't wait to sit down and say welcome to Diamondbacks baseball. I've been thinking about that, dreaming about it, wondering how I was going to feel, and I don't know how I'm going to feel. At times when I rehearse my open, I get pretty emotional. I haven't even finished it yet,
yeah. And
I have to stop. But then we've got an hour pregame show. It's going to be like an opening day, but a little more. I want to talk clearly about how I sense the Diamondbacks are understanding this situation, COVID-19, and dealing with it. And there's some other nuances to that with Mark Grace and I that but it's going to be an opening day pregame show in the most extraordinary circumstance in my adult history.
Ever. Adult life. All right. Well, Todd, let's get with you after the break, and let's talk a little bit about on the field.
Sure.
All right. So hang around, and we'll be right back.
These days, most families are concerned with having the right insurance coverage. Protecting your family, home, auto, and other valuable possessions can be challenging and sometimes expensive. Crest Insurance gives you flexible options and solutions while saving you money. Insurance is not one size fits all, and at Crest, we find the coverage that's best for you and your family. Visit us online at www.crestins.com or call us toll free at 888-881-5765.
Being named the 2020 El Tour de Tucson dedication recipient was such an honor. I had been a part of El Tour in the past, and I know about some of these amazing names that have been dedication recipients in the past, but it was an honor to be chosen for that, not only for me, but for my organization that supports people with disabilities.
I've met so many people through the riding and through El Tour that are now some of my closest and dearest friends.
One of the things that makes El Tour, you know, so safe and so well ran is all the law enforcement that gets involved blocking up the roads. My favorite part of the course on the newer course was the backside of Pistol Hill.
I think what's amazing about El Tour is there's something for everyone's ability level. It includes the opportunity to be out there. You can even do a 1 miler. You can do something at home if you're limited to being indoors. That's what's great about it is all abilities are encouraged. It's very inclusive.
Welcome back to Eye on the Ball on 1030 The Voice. I'm Jay Gonzalez. Steve Rivera is out today, but we've got Todd Walsh in from Fox Sports Arizona, who covers the Diamondbacks and the Coyotes. And we're going to stick with a little baseball here, Todd, because that's, you know, my first love. But, I want to get to some hockey here because you've got the Coyotes in the NHL playoffs, and not everybody's in that as well. So, but with baseball, this is, as it is for everybody else, this is a weird time for them, you know, with everything they had to do just to play. But now you got a 60-game season. You know, it's a sprint. It's going to be a sprint and not the marathon. And, you know, you got to get off to a good start, and that's what you're hearing from everybody. And I know that from Torrey Lovallo's comments this morning regarding the two games at Dodger Stadium, he's a little concerned about how they looked in those two games. So, where are they headed, and what can we expect to see?
Well, yeah, clearly he is, and the offense struggled, but I think it was more a response, and I'm sure you heard him talking about, to the two pitchers that pitched. And as you know, Jay, coaches can be they can use a loss or two to their advantage, and I think maybe this got his team's attention. They talked a lot about, even during the entire hiatus and the stoppage, that we got to be ready to roll when we get the call. And I know that was the message to the team, and it sounded and looked like it during the earlier days of summer camp, but this last 48 hours at Dodger Stadium, I think is a way to say we got to be ready here. And he also knows that he didn't have his pitchers 1, 2, 3, 4, any of the top guys in front of the rotation were not on the mound at Dodger Stadium, and those are the guys that are going to set the tone. Madison Bumgarner to Robbie Ray to Zach Allen, those are the guys that I think are going to keep them in just about every game that they go out and get on the mound for. I liked this team going into the original camp, which feels like a lifetime ago.
Right.
And I like the fact, I know the Dodgers are the cream of the crop, but I kind of like a truncated sprint with them instead of a 162-game grind. I want to see the first turn, like the first turn at the Indy 500. Where are they after the first couple weeks? And, you know, one loss equals three. And who knows what's going to happen on that first week through. So I'm not all that concerned about what I saw. I think it's a great tool and a great wake-up call.
Well, and you put it great. Like, you know, coming out of that first turn at Indy, you know, who's in the lead and, you know, who can stay up there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you bring in a guy like, you know, Madison Bumgarner, first of all, a guy that I'm sure every Diamondback fan absolutely hated up until he joined the team.
Yeah.
now uh-huh. He's your best friend. But when you see somebody like that, you know, that comes on and all the changes that take place, you know, in an off season. I mean, when you start talking about, you know, strengths and weaknesses and, you know, what, you know, where are they for the Diamondbacks? You know, if I'm looking at my fantasy baseball team, you know, where am I looking for to find some Diamondbacks?
Well, I'm going to draft Ketel Marte and do anything I can. I think he's in the top whatever consideration for MVP because for a reason. And I think with the designated hitter now, they're going to be able to rotate him out every now and then, keep him off his feet. I think he is appointment television every time he comes to the plate. I love the additions in the outfield of Starling Marte and Cole Calhoun. And Calhoun, to me, is the story that I wish I was trailing that for a full marathon. A guy that grew up here, went to Arizona State, and then played in the shadow of Mike Trout for a long, long time. Hit 33 homers a year ago and now is coming to play in the ballpark that he grew up watching the hometown team play. I just think that's you can't write that stuff. And there it is, and that changes the whole dynamic to me in that outfield. I want to see how Christian Walker does in his next year here. I know Kevin Crone is a little beat up, but my goodness, you can't put him in AAA anymore. This is a legitimate power hitter, and with the designated hitter, I want to see him get some at-bats and a chance because he's a game changer. And I like this team's swagger. I like the way they play the game. Their offense can do some damage, and I know they don't have a lot of depth in the bullpen. I think Archie Bradley, it sounds like he's ready to be the closer, but the proof's going to be in what we see, especially in this sprint. But there's something about this team that I like, and I almost, in a weird way, I kind of like watching the Dodgers run over them, because I just kind of like that whole thought that, you know what, okay, you guys had that, but don't turn your back on us. And Dodgers have been the cream of that division for what feels like forever. Why not give them a run?
Right.
I just like this group. I really like this group.
Does the 60-game season, is that better for the Diamondbacks, or, you know, do they need time?
I think it's better. I think in this situation, I think it's a chance to get after the Dodgers. I think over the course of that 162, you're going to have those ebbs and flows, and maybe that's where the you know, the lack of depth in the bullpen comes into play, or in the back end of the starting rotation, or in some of those obvious warts. I think maybe you don't see that exposed as readily as you would in the course of a long, hot summer and the travel. And this team... I've been with him on the road. I know what I used to say, dog days of summer, until I started to live them. And, you know, they're very real, and those aren't going to exist here.
Right. They're
just not.
Right.
I can't wait to see how all these teams deal with it. And then you have to throw in, the potential for COVID-19 and how will that affect? And if you hear the things that are said by these guys, if you heard Archie Bradley on the radio a couple of weeks ago talking about the accountability that he's demanding inside the clubhouse. He made somebody in the training room, he saw him without his mask and walked over and just handed them a mask. I mean, that their message is not just going to be the one that they gave on the first day of the return. This comes from the general manager to the manager to the leadership group of that team, that you have to be accountable and suck it up for 2 months.
Right.
2 months.
Right.
And be the best teammate you can be.
Right.
And that's that. You know, there's your wild card right there.
Right. Right. So, let me ask you this, because you mentioned the designated hitter. You know, we've got in the National League for the first time, and I've got my own opinion of that. But have you been able to gauge, what are the players in the National League thinking about having the DH at their disposal now? Do they like it? Do they not? Where are they on that?
I haven't spoken to players on that. I know that, but I just know that these guys want at bats. I mean, you just created like a guy like Kevin Crone. Here's a guy that, destroys AAA pitching. He's a legitimate power hitter in AAA, and he never really gets the taste up here. And now there's four, maybe five at-bats a game that you can split around. So I can tell you they're going to like it. The guy that doesn't like it is Madison Bumgarner, but my sense is after, 60 games of not having to deal with pitching or batting, maybe, just maybe, he might say to himself, it isn't so bad.
Yeah.
I grew up an American League guy, so I don't have a problem with it. But I've grown to appreciate the nuances and the managerial decision-making that has to happen. But I kind of can't wait to see some of these guys on the bench get a chance to swing the bat.
Well, certainly makes for more fantasy baseball points, that's for sure. So
there you go.
So let's talk Arizona Coyotes a little bit. Their playoffs are going to start here in a couple of weeks. You've got the Coyotes in there. It's, again, like everything else, it's sort of a fresh start for everybody. Everybody feels they've got a chance. I mean, how's everybody taking that?
Well, you just said it's a fresh start for me, especially in hockey. Time is the great equalizer for every team, but in particular the Coyotes. They had slipped dramatically near the end of the season that we were covering. They were in first place for a good portion of it, and then injuries caught up to them, and in particular the last line of defense for them, their goaltender, Darcy Kemper, one of the best in the league over the last year and a half. he went down, and they never really recovered. They lost the leading scorer, Connor Garland, in the last day or so. So all of Darcy Kemper's back, Connor Garland's back, Brad Richardson had surgery. He has returned. So they're healthy and they're rejuvenated. And they have a shot. I mean, it was going to be a long shot to sneak back into the playoffs in the position they were in with the games that they had to play in what was a regular season. But here they go. They're even up with Nashville, a team that they split in the season with in a couple of games. Great respect for them, but they've had months now. It feels like a month, maybe. I'm not sure when it was announced, but to prepare for them, the coaches have broken down all kinds of film, and the team knows who they're playing. I mean, this is the longest camp of their lives. I was talking to a coach today, and they're just getting antsy. But they're going to be a hard out because purely of the style they play. They have a great goalie. He's now healthy. Will he be sharp? We'll find out. And they play a stingy, accountable defense, which is going to keep you in a tight playoff game. And just like the Diamondbacks, when they drop that puck, it is the playoffs. And these guys are going to be able to sniff the Stanley Cup, you know, a month or so down the road if they keep winning. I can't wait to see that as well. My head's going to be split in half, but I think they're going to be a tough out, Jake.
So how's that going to work for you? You're going to not only, I mean, I know you've had to double up because the seasons overlap, but still, you know, everything's so jammed into such a short period of time. Are you excited about this? Are you losing sleep over this? I mean,
yeah.
Where's your head?
Yes, both. My fear is, I swear to God, today I went out and I was looking for a pair of shoes. I haven't worn dress shoes in 4 months. And I thought to myself, oh my God, what am I going to do? I might just wind up wearing my Hokas, my sneakers. But, I'm always a little nervous about everything. So it kind of fuels me, but it is the great unknown. I'll start with baseball and then Jody Jackson will take over, and I'll go do hockey for as long as the Coyotes roll, and then we'll see where the chips fall. But and I have had to split my brain a few times with the crossover, but the fact that it's usually one season's ending and the other one's starting. This is both of them in you know, fourth gear,
right,
which I think will be really cool. I haven't been at home this long in my house for more than 2 weeks at a time since I've owned this house, ever. This has been the strangest, everyone can say this, but for me, I've been traveling year-round since 2000, and this was just, everything just came to a screeching halt, so I'm very curious to see if my voice holds, and, you know, when hockey starts, when I go from baseball to hockey, it's like going from molasses to a Lamborghini, and that's going to kind of happen to me again, and it's going to be at the highest stakes, and I won't be around the team, and it's going to be very different. But I understand that this is, you know, I'm fortunate. I have a job, and I'm covering sports for a living, and I've always felt like sports is a metaphor for life, and I think sports needs to lead the way right now. Be accountable to one another. Be safe. Understand what's going on around us. Respect that, and maybe rally a few people in the process. So I feel like we have a great responsibility, and I'm honored to be standing there holding that microphone.
Well, you know, Todd, it's great for you to say that because, you know, there's a lot of people out there who are trying to say, you know, sports should be the last priority. And, you know, Steve Rivera and I were talking about this on either yesterday or last week that, you know, in our culture, sports is a big deal. And if you want to minimize and say it's only a game, fine, you can go ahead. But there are a lot of us sitting out here who the hardest thing about what we're going through, aside from, you know, wondering if our family members or whatever were going to get COVID, was not having sports. And so the fact that that we're going to be back, you guys are going to be bringing it to us in circumstances that hopefully you'll never have to do again. I think, you know, just how, you know, we appreciate that. And look, you know, I know you're going to do a good job. We all know you're going to do a good job. You guys are veterans of all this. And hey, man, make it up as you go along, right?
You just described 3 years of me working for Lute Olson without having a clue of what I was doing. Yes, I appreciate that. I don't know if you have, I don't know what you're doing with time, but I did say at the very beginning of this on a radio show that to me, I've always been uncomfortable with the over obsession of sports. It is my life. It has paid my bills. Okay,
right.
It pays my health insurance. I love it, but I said it in March that, maybe we're too obsessed with sports. Maybe there's too much. I mean, the salaries are insane and absurd, and we could go on for hours and days on that, and that's true. But I thought then that maybe this would allow us to pause and look behind us in the rearview mirror and say, why are we so obsessed? What are we hiding from that leads us to this all the time? And I think we got a dose of that, and right. I think it's a good thing. And the other thing I did want to say before you, I'm sure you got to go. I've had an eye on Tucson since Mother's Day, Jay. Mount Lemmon is my favorite place on the planet. My ashes will be there someday. And I want to just give a shout out to all the wildland fire experts that were out there, the men and women that are putting themselves in harm's way, and anyone that was adversely affected. It broke my heart. Mount Lemmon is a place that I've been going to since 1974 when I was 10 years old. And to see what I saw, I was checking every single day online and thinking about everybody down there to the Sky Island that is just such a sanctuary. I hope that thing's calmed down. I hope you got it under control.
Well, thank you, Todd, because it was heartbreaking for us here to see that. But they did as good a job as they could possibly do, and we'll get our mountain back. And so, you'll have a chance to get back up there. So, Todd, thanks so much for joining us, and thanks for all the insight. It was great to have you, and we'll catch up with you again as these seasons move on and we get back to sports.
Anytime, Jay. Thanks for having me. Say hello to everybody, okay?
Will do. Thanks, Todd. That Todd Walsh, Fox Sports Arizona. We'll take a break and come right back.
Camille Rivas Rutherford with Coldwell Banker Realty has been one of the top producing real estate agents in Tucson, Oro Valley, Marana, and Vail for more than 20 years. Let her help you find your dream home in Southern Arizona. Her passion and enthusiasm for real estate has helped her become one of the most respected and trusted realtors in the area. And she was recently named a recipient of Coldwell Banker's 2019 International President Circle Award. Camille's approach to sales and marketing and selling or buying a home is second to none. Give her a call at 520-250-5192.
It's those guys from Tucson Appliance Company, the best appliance company in Tucson.
For the month of July, we're going to donate 2% of our sales to a local charity from in-stock purchases.
Come shop at our store and work with our amazing sales team.
Dustin, David, Brian, Alex, me, and Peter.
You can choose from a list of local charities for us to donate to.
The only way we can give back is if you shop local.
Only at Tucson Appliance, where our low price is your priority.
A place in our house.
For 70 years, Benjamin Supply has been keeping Tucson flowing. Hygiene is our business. We help you achieve extreme clean. Minimize germ spreading with a hands-free sensor faucet. Forget the paper panic with a washlet seat. And speaking of waterworks, a big thanks to plumbers for their essential efforts during this health crisis. Shop our downtown showroom by appointment. Call us at 777-7000 or see all the products online at BenjaminSupply.com.
Thanks to Benjamin Plumbing Supply.
Welcome back to Eye on the Ball here on 1030 The Voice. This is Jay Gonzalez. Steve Rivera has got the day off, but we had Todd Walsh on just now for a bit to give us some insight into the Major League Baseball season and the NHL playoffs. It was great to have Todd. He's an old friend. Met him way back in the 1986-87 timeframe when he was a basketball manager at the U of A. We didn't get a chance to talk about some of the old days because we had so much to talk about with baseball and hockey. But, Todd's one of those guys who kind of grew up through the U of A athletic department chain and has done extremely well for himself. He's had a long career with Fox Sports and working with the Diamondbacks and the Coyotes, and it was just great to have him on and listen to a little bit about what's in store for us. Baseball's going to start on Thursday, and the Diamondbacks actually don't start till Friday, but it's going to be interesting to see what that looks like as they try and do pregame shows remotely, postgame shows remotely. You've got play-by-play announcers and analysts, working remotely. It's going to be interesting to see how that works.
I was thinking about this through the lens of a broadcast setup, and I don't care how big your monitor is. For me, when I'm calling a game, I like to kind of look behind the play, see what's going on. You might hear something or see something that catches your eye. That's not going to be there. And to fill in those holes is going to be interesting, to say the least. To a certain extent, Jay, I think we're going to have to be a little lenient on our sportscasters. But you know what? They're going to do an awesome job, I'm sure.
Right. We absolutely are. And that's what I was saying to Todd. Look, we're just going to be so starved for sports that if they butcher a thing or two or whatever, so what? right? You know, and I'm one of those people, I like being at games. And, you know, with the big screen TVs and the HD and stuff that you can have, sure, you can throw yourself on the couch and you can have a great experience watching a game. But when I'm at a stadium, I think I'm like you. I look around. You know, I see, I'm at a football game and I watch the quarterback run off the field after a bad series. And I want to see if, you know, he goes and talks to the coach, if there's any relationship, if the coach gets in his face or if the coach just sits there and talks to him. You know, same thing with baseball players. You know, a guy has a bad at bat and, you know, he goes to the bench. You know, does a hitting coach come and talk to him? I look for those things. And those are the things that, you're right, are, you know, are going to be hard to spot if you're not actually at, you know, if Bob Brenly is not actually at the game and he's only gets to see what's on camera, he's not going to see what happens when the guy goes to the dugout, you know, or when a pitcher comes off after a good outing or a bad outing or whatever, how the players react. You're just not going to see some of that. And we're going to have to get used to the fact that we're not going to get that.
And especially in baseball, calling pitches is going to be tougher off a monitor, what kind of pitch. And I think they're going to have to do a lot of split screen when there's runners on base to see whether or not a guy even breaks.
Right.
Because how else are you going to know? If it's just that long center field camera pitcher and batter, you're not going to know right away if the runner goes.
That's an excellent point, because you're right. The reason the announcer can see that is because he can see the field. But if you're watching the camera angle and it's the shot from behind the pitcher, and the guy goes, you don't know that he's gone. You're out. You're 100% correct. That's going to be, again, it's those kinds of little bits of stuff that are gonna be interesting to see. But again, I'm ready. I'm ready for some baseball. I'm going to do my fantasy draft tomorrow. Actually, I'm going to be doing it while we're on the show, because that was the only time we could schedule it. So you may catch a little bit of that, and I may ask for some help. You know, I'm just excited. I'm excited to have it. I'm even going to watch the dang hockey. I am.
Wow.
I mean, I like the playoff. I do like the Stanley Cup playoffs,
sure.
But I don't watch a lick of hockey up until the playoffs begin. But I'll tell you what, there's nothing like a game 7 of a hockey series. I mean, I'll watch those all day, because the urgency, the speed, the just everything that goes with the life or death of that. There's nothing better. You can see it in hockey better than you can see it in any other sport.
I would completely agree, although I'm a hockey guy, so I'm biased. But you know what? That is what I'm going to be interested to see too, Jay, is I personally feel in a sport like hockey where there's glass and boards around the rink, you're not going to miss any of the intensity. But I wonder, in more of an open feeling like a baseball stadium or a big football stadium, if that does have some sort of effect. And I just want to vote openly and publicly. I'd rather have empty seats than those weird cardboard cutouts.
Well, it depends on who's on those cardboard cutouts, right?
It doesn't,
but the creepy people they had behind the home plate at Dodger Stadium, I don't even know who they are. And, you know, people are putting money into that kind of stuff. And yes, it's going to a charity and all that kind of stuff, and that's great that they figured out a way to do that.
Sure.
But they look a little creepy.
It'd be fun if they slipped in some weird ones, like you had the Beatles or Elvis sitting behind home plate or something weird.
And I'm waiting for somebody to do that.
Yeah,
you know, you put Paul McCartney on there, or Elvis
Richard
Presley,
Nixon,
you know,
John Kennedy, like,
you know, live people and dead ones, you
right.
know, just make it fun.
See who catches.
Although you can't do the sex dolls that they did at in Japan.
That was weird.
that was odd. But you know, I really can't wait. I honestly can't wait for the NBA to start. I mean, all these things are going to be going on at the same time, and you know, your head's going to be turning. You're going to be flipping channels. There's going to be sports on all the channels. I honestly can't wait for that. I shouldn't say I'm tired of watching the same movie over and over, because I do that all the time, and my kids give me a lot of grief for that. And I'll still watch my movies, but it'll be nice to have sports on, and I'll watch any baseball game at this point.
Well, you know, it was nice too. Like we've had a gradual reintroduction, right? German soccer came back, then English soccer, then golf. Like we've kind of been able to get some sports back slowly, and so that's felt nice. And I've enjoyed that. I liked watching the Memorial this weekend as much as I could. But now it's about to get insane, because I can't think of a time where you have everybody going full bore at once like this. You know, usually somebody's starting or somebody's ending.
Right.
You're not going to have everybody kind of coming to this car crash conclusion all at once, and that's exactly what we're going to run into.
Oh, exactly, because, you know, baseball season is generally just kind of getting started as you're going through the NHL and NBA playoffs, and, you know, and the NFL's been over. All these things are going to be cranked up, and like you said, they're going to be going hard. Baseball, again, you know, I saw there was a story that Jay Johnson talking about Major League Baseball is playing a college baseball season, and that's unusual for them. I mean, think about the fact that if they had a 60-game season last year, the Nationals would not have made the playoffs if it was the first 60 games. You know, they didn't start playing well until mid-May. So, you know, there's going to be a lot of that. It's going to be interesting to see the urgency in all of these sports, and it's going to be fun to watch because everybody's playing for keeps from day one, and that's going to be great. So we're about to head out. We're going to have Dave Hickey on here tomorrow to talk to us a little bit about what's going on at Arizona in the Pac-12. There's been a lot happening since we last had him on, so we're looking forward to getting him back on, and Steve will be back. So we'll see you tomorrow with Dave Hickey and with Steve Rivera back on the show.